Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You'll know we've been talking for months here in Lunchtime Live about concerns for greater home care for adults with intellectual disabilities. We've heard so many listener stories right across the country. Those issues were again raised in the Dáil this lunchtime.
I want to quote from one parent who contacted News Talk earlier in the year, and this is what they said, and I quote, "We're an elderly couple, both struggling significantly with health issues. We've been told by a very good day service that there are simply no places. We will sadly die sooner rather than later because we get zero respite and never get a chance to recoup our energy. We've been told our son could be put anywhere in the country."
That's the voice of the Social Democrat Party Deputy Leader Cian O'Callaghan, who's with me here on the programme today. Cian, can you explain why this issue was highlighted again in the Dáil today?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, we felt it was very important to bring this up in the Dáil again because we've been raising this, as of your listeners, you know, week after week, month after month, but we haven't seen concrete progress in this. We have heard from the government that they feel the issue is very serious. They admit that there hasn't been enough progress in this area. They say it's a priority, but we haven't seen the kind of concrete actions that we need that will actually start to make a change in people's lives.
So what is it that you're actually lobbying for, though?
Well, the Before We Die campaign and families who've been campaigning on this say a few different things, but a couple of them, clear asks is that there has to be ring-fenced funding in the national budget to provide the housing that's needed, and also that there needs to be a very clear plan as well. So, you know, it's not okay just to say, okay, we're going to do something about this. There has to be a very concrete plan with the different steps in it that we all know is happening, that we can all monitor the progress, and we can see then, you know, within a few years that this actually gets resolved and sorted and the housing that people need gets built and they move into it with the kind of supports that they need.
I always think it's interesting to note, Cian, because with the greatest respect, not everybody sits down to follow or watch the Dáil proceedings, but how well attended was that debate today?
Well, there was people attending from all the different parties and groupings, and they all would have gotten different speaking slots, and there was a lot of support for the motion that we brought forward. So, look, was there a full attendance? No, there wasn't. But to be fair, people would be at other pieces of work. There's committees sitting and so forth. So not everyone can be there at the same time. But all the different parties were represented during the debate.
Okay, good. So basically what you're looking for really is kind of that people have a right to call somewhere home. That there should be, it really should be a right that people have a home somewhere.
No, exactly. In the current situation where adults with intellectual disabilities don't have somewhere of their own that they can call home, and until they're in a crisis situation when maybe their parent dies, then that isn't even looked at in a lot of situations and for a lot of people. And at that point, when they're thrown into crisis, thrown into the trauma of losing a parent and a carer and an advocate, they could end up somewhere hundreds of miles away from any kind of family or support or friends or day services. So this is really done in the worst possible way, and it's brutally unfair as well on parents and families to have all, you know, that unknown what's going to happen after I die and that worry. And then you don't know, is there someone looking out for their adult son and daughter properly at that point?
Sarah Rorty from the Before We Die campaign committee, Cian, is with us here on the programme today. And Sarah, you know all too well about like that uncertainty for people. It's desperately painful and frustrating for them.
Indeed. Thank you, Andrew, for having me on. And thank you, Cian, for bringing the motion forward today. Absolutely. I mean, Cian talks about the planning, but, you know, the old phrase, failure to plan is a plan to fail. And I can tell you right now, the state is failing abysmally. I mean, it's my lived experience as a parent of a 24-year-old with an intellectual disability who has no transition to a supported housing plan. But we're hearing other voices from all over the country of parents who are left with absolutely no hope of any future for their children before they die. I mean, we looked at the census ourselves, and as a volunteer group, we went to the CSO, we got the data. The state doesn't have the data, and we found that over 32,000 people over the age of 18 with an intellectual disability are currently living at home. What is the plan? And of that, 2,314 are living with parents over the age of 70. Now, Andrea, there's only one thing happening there. Yeah. There is no plan for those people. And there is a data void there. As I said, there's a systemic official blind spot. And it's leaning into this invisible economic, physical, emotional toll that the families are having to bear. Now, we have met with the Taoiseach, we've met with Taoiseach, mm-hmm. we've been in front of various committees and Oireachtas and so on. Everybody listens intently. Everybody is very concerned. We don't want sympathy. We have 8 key demands. We want to see budgets allocated and we want to see mandated actions.
And on those mandated actions, and Cian mentioned that the idea of actual funding being ring-fenced specifically for the purpose of purchasing accommodation for people with intellectual disabilities into an older age, is that the main priority, Sarah?
I suppose there's, first of all, I said, start with data. The data doesn't exist. It's in pockets of information. So there is no plan. Because, so first of all, we need a statutory register of need that every person with an intellectual disability who will require supported housing is identified, is recorded and is planned for. And from that then is to reform that housing application process and bring those various departments together, the HSE, the Department of Housing, the service providers and the local authorities. So there is a one-stop shop and a mandated authority with KPIs and accountability that tracks delivery. That is really key for us. As Cian said, there is an issue with funding. A lot of the Section 8, 38 and 39 providers who to our children or to our adults, they need ring-fenced multi-annual funding. They're lurching from year to year without any plan because they cannot. They need to also have money reinstated to them, the so-called CALF funding that other approved housing bodies get that they're excluded from. Things like, for example, to be able to maintain a house, to refurbish a house, an existing home. My own father, for example, his dying wish was that his bungalow in the heart of Tumen, County Galway, close to my daughter's service providers, would be given over to Ability West or another service provider who could provide housing long term. Unfortunately, the likes of Ability West, the likes of Corlin and Galway, do not have the fund to refurbish and maintain such a house. So, you know, there are people, as Cian has said, who moved literally overnight. The day their parent dies, they lose their home, they lose their family, they lose their community, their service providers, their friends, their social life overnight. Now, that's cruelty.
Is part of the problem here, Cian, politically, that this particular issue, it falls under whether it be the health portfolio, it's the housing minister, it's Department of Children. I mean, there's a remit under older people. There's no one person in charge of this.
Well, it is the minister who was speaking on this today was Minister Norma Foley, who's got responsibility for disability. So, yes, there is a role to be played by different departments, but that isn't a get-out clause on this. That example, and we've heard of other examples as well, where literally people are willing to hand over a house or a property either to the state or to a not-for-profit organisation to provide housing for adults with intellectual disabilities, are literally willing to do that, and they're having those offers refused because there isn't the proper funding in place to support that. I mean, that is absolutely scandalous, where most of the resource needed to provide the housing has been offered for free, and it isn't being taken up because there isn't the sufficient funding or support in that. So what the government is doing here now is they're saying they're putting a lot of this onto local authorities, saying the local authorities need to set targets, they need to get on and do with this. And it's kind of washing their hands of it somewhat. It's the state nationally, the government nationally, not setting a clear plan themselves, not putting aside specific funding. If you don't do that, you can't see, if you put forward several million funding for housing for adults with intellectual disabilities and it's not spent, you immediately have accountability on that. You'll get the budget spent. If you don't put forward any ring fence funding, if this just comes out of general funding for housing, then it's much harder to get accountability, much harder to get delivery. So you have to, the measures the Forward to Die campaign are calling for have to be followed. Mm-hmm. There must be multi-annual funding for the not-for-profit sector that wants to deliver more housing. They can't do it unless they're told, well, this is the funding you'll get this year and next year and the year after to do it.
They
can't do it.
That it'll be sustained. That it will allow for the management of buildings.
And because they're not doing that, a much more expensive provision by private companies is happening more and more. They don't have those constraints around multi-annual funding. And it's much more expensive to deliver housing that way, and it's a much for a lot of people, it's a much poorer outcome as well. Not to be cared for in a not for profit setting.
I just want to read this text to listeners today that's come in from somebody who wishes to remain anonymous, and they say they want to stay anonymous because they're afraid of actually losing the little respite that they have. Their son is 28 years of age with ID and autism and needs full-time care. The carers can never retire. Myself and my husband haven't been away together for even one night in 28 years. The government expects the siblings to take over the care when we pass away. Our daughter is a cancer survivor. She worked so hard to finish her degree after intense chemo and radiotherapy in a very stressful household, and she will not be giving up her life to care for her brother because it isn't her responsibility. She's had a tough life growing up with a sibling with additional needs. There was no holidays, there was never trips away as a family, there was sleepless nights, no friends could come over. It's so unfair to even expect her and other siblings to do that. My husband is now suffering from memory loss because of the years of stress and anxiety worrying about our son's future. There needs to be a plan to have a plan. And I know finally, Sarah, that they're the kind of stories that you're all too familiar with.
Absolutely. I mean, us as a committee, it's our own lived experience. But in addition to that as well, you know, we have thousands of people now as part of the campaign. It's not just a committee member. We had a recent meeting in Cork. We had to close the doors of 350 people. That's how many people turned up. We're having another event in the Helix in Dublin on the 19th of September. 1,000 people capacity. People are so worried, so concerned about the future. In fact, you know, we were just talking recently, even in the olden days, you know, when there was the institutions, okay, we don't want to go back to those days, but at least you knew what was going to happen. We have no idea. There is no plan.
No plan to have a plan. Sarah, look, it's lovely to talk to you again, and I do appreciate your time on the programme. That's Sarah Rorty, who's from the Before We Die campaign committee, and Cian O'Callaghan there from the Social Democrat Party. Cian O'Callaghan, as is mentioned, who raised this issue in the Dáil again today. Cian, thanks for your time on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.